I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What do you want to talk about first? Two things we're going to talk about this week. You want to talk about the movie or the series?
Either one's fine.
Oh, all right. We'll start with the movie since it's technically in theaters now.
Okay.
And that would be yet another dip into the 80s television well. The Fall Guy, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, directed by David Leitch. I didn't watch the original show, starring the great Lee Majors and Heather Thomas.
Yeah.
But again, Hollywood has a tendency to take properties and ruin them. So obviously I was a little hesitant going in. Plus I never fancied myself the hugest Gosling fan. I don't dislike him. There's some of his films that I absolutely really do enjoy. But I can't get excited just because it's a Ryan Gosling project. So
no, he's had a weird sort of, you know, his career wise.
He does what he wants, which is a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, it has good results and bad results. One that I referenced in my written review that I just put up not long ago was his performance here is reminiscent of The Nice Guys he did with Russell Crowe.
That's
a movie that I thoroughly enjoyed watching him in. That is an underappreciated movie. Just if you haven't already watched that out there, people, The Nice Guys from 2016, I believe. But in this one, this is an update of the 80s television series, The Fall Guy, about a stuntman. I believe he's a bounty hunter or, you know, like a bail bondsman. In the original series.
I think there was more weirdness to it, where this is more of a straight up.
He has to do one thing, but he's a stuntman whose personal and professional career get rocky.
Yeah.
And then he is sucked back into the business by a Hollywood power producer.
It's that, and there is a love story.
He's pulled back in to work because he's told that the girl that he lost when he lost his professional career, he thought, she's directing her first film, and he's told that she asked for him to come basically save the stunts in this movie. It's this big, sprawling science fiction epic. He flies to Australia at the word of super producer Gail Meyer, played by Hannah Waddingham of Ted Lasso fame.
She might be having some fun.
Be having some fun in this. Absolutely. Well-deserved fun, too, I might add. And we'll probably get to that in a little bit. But as it turns out, not as all as it seems. When he gets there, his ex-girlfriend, the director, Jody, played by Emily Blunt, did not, in fact, ask for him and is kind of upset that he's there because he kind of ghosted her. But there's also there's a missing person involved, the star of said action science fiction blockbuster. Tom Ryder, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson. And I said he's like channeling the weirdest caricature of early Matthew McConaughey
in this film.
But yes, so that's who he's working with. So Ryan Gosling's Colt Seaver was Tom Ryder's stunt double for 7 years before the accident.
Forced him out of the business.
And so kind of think Brad Pitt to Leonardo DiCaprio up until that point. He was always written into the contract as Tom Ryder's stunt guy. So Tom Ryder is missing, and the producer has called him down there because he knows Tom Ryder, and he can find him if anyone can to get him back and save the movie in more ways than one, because he's also trying to save the woefully unqualified stunt department. Not because of the guy that's running the stunt department, who's an old friend of his, but because he's dealing with a room full of rookie Australians. But yeah, whatever.
Yes.
so he's trying to save the stunt guys. He's trying to save Tom Ryder, and he's trying to save the movie, and he's trying to kind of lose his relationship with Emily Blunt. It's a lot of moving pieces. Yeah. So it's an action movie wrapped in a, oh man, it's wrapped in a lot of things.
Yeah. Yesterday, you unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your opinion, missed the film, but there were some of our colleagues who were talking about this film, and one expressed her disappointment because this was supposed to be a romantic comedy. And I don't know where, world, this was a romantic comedy. I guess I can see elements of it.
Yeah,
but that is not the category. That's maybe like the third.
It is. The Fall Guy is an action film wrapped up in a detective film with a side of rom com.
There you go.
It's side of rom com.
Yeah, it's there, but it's almost there because I described it as the carrot on the string, you know, the carrot that's out in front of him. He's chasing the romance, but it's only sort of about a romance. And so if you're looking for straight up romantic comedy, you probably, you know, your expectations are not going to be met.
Go watch The Lost City with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
That's the rom-com you're looking for.
Yeah.
So this is there's a lot going on, but it's an action film because this is about the stunt guy and the stunt guys.
Yes.
And how they're treated and or mistreated by the quote unquote talent.
Yeah.
So it's, look, like I said, I came in, I didn't have a dog in this fight except to defend my childhood, right? My childhood television. So, and even this actually came out, I was early teenager, but you get the point out there. I'm not at all unhappy about this movie. Not at all. I laughed when I needed to laugh. I love that the stunt performance aspect of it is in almost every single scene, whether it's the film within the film, which there's a lot of, or whether it's the skill sets of stunt guys being put to use outside of the film within the film, to try to track down and what they believe rescue the star, weapons fighting, parkour, jumping, speedboat driving, car chases, all of those skills are put to practical real world use.
Yeah. Dangling from helicopters.
And I told you right before I left, I had remembered, I had to look it up in 1986, good old Orion Pictures put out a film called FX, which is the recruitment of another underappreciated film ability, the special effects crew, and a master effects guy is recruited to do a job for an organization to put his skills to use in the real world. And so it's I was reminded that that film existed. And I actually enjoyed that one, the sequel not so much, but the first one I enjoyed. So that thought runs through my head, and there's a almost spoiler in my written review when I get to that point, because I started talking about it and then I thought, and I was like, oh, and I just had to move on. This movie hinges on the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
To a certain extent, sure.
Well, the narrative portion of it.
You have to at least believe that they have something.
Right.
And that something is worth him doing all of what he does.
Oh my God.
Because he does a lot.
Wow.
Because he's not, you know, I mean, he has disconnected himself from that world enough that he's not really going back to reclaim the old glory.
No, he doesn't want to do the stunts.
You know, back in high school. He doesn't really, yes. So he's not really there for any reason other than to try to repair this relationship that he destroyed.
Yes.
So yes, you have to absolutely, you have to buy into their romance. Just for that simple reason. You know, if he loves her, is he willing to do all these things, you know, or whatever? That's the extent, but really that's the extent of the, you know, well, I guess the other question is will she forgive him?
Yeah.
You know, so those are the two questions. How far will he go to be forgiven, and will she forgive him?
He goes pretty far.
Other than that, this is just, for me, what I love about it is it's just one endless string of stunt greatest hits.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, the smashing the bottles on the heads, you name it. I mean, it's just, it's nonstop of, oh, I think this is just purely, I mean, it's a movie about stunts that happens to have a plot, mm-hmm. and that plot happens to actually make some sense. And so it's kind of masquerading as an action film, but really it's an endless stream of really neat stunts.
Yeah. 100%. It really is. It's just good stuff. It's just, like I said, everything, there's nothing bad about this movie, which makes everything that's good better.
Yeah. I mean, it is the ultimate popcorn film.
Yep.
In that, it's not by any means interested in changing the world, other than the fact of maybe changing the world for, you know, the reputation of people who do stunts and to kind of give them in the foreground.
Yep.
But it's just kind of big, silly. I'm not going to say dumb fun, because it's not dumb.
No.
Because the stunts and the stunt work that they're doing is insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's, And you don't have to be a stunt person to look at some of the stuff they do to appreciate it, or to know that, oh, hey, that's crazy. They're crazy. That's nuts, you know? And that's the fun of it, too, though, is you kind of get to see all these crazy things happening. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I don't know, I don't think anyone's going to try to tell you that this is a masterpiece of cinema, I don't know, but it is a masterpiece of stunt cinema.
Yeah.
And so you sit back, you enjoy it. And I think that's all that it really is asking you to do, other than to appreciate the fact that what these guys do is pretty instrumental to the movies that you've known and loved.
I'm glad you used the word appreciate, because that's really what they want you to do. Yes, you want to enjoy it, but come away with an actual appreciation.
Well, because there are times where you're almost like, it's like, okay, we're going to take you behind the scenes.
Yep.
We're going to do a behind the scenes stuff, but they work it into the narrative. So it's not really, it doesn't, that's not what the narrative itself is doing, but it's what the film is doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to, okay, we're going to show you how the setup is for these. We're going to show you all the things that could possibly go wrong. We're going to, you know, I mean, and so I think there's a strange educational sort of thing to it. I, you know, and maybe I had not thought of this, so this might be the dumbest thing I ever said, but, you know, maybe this is what Top Gun was, you know, for the Air Force. This is, you know, the stuntman.
God, I hope a bunch of idiots don't try to go become stuntmen.
Well,
I think, you know what? I think those idiots were all weeded out by the Jackass movies.
There you go.
So you might actually have actual stuntmen going, see, I can make a living at this.
Yeah, and that's, and you know, that's not what this is.
No.
This is not a Jackass.
And the movie even points out that that's not what this is.
Yeah.
What, in Gosling's got kind of a monologue near the end. It all hurts. Get thrown through a window,
yeah,
it hurts. Get hit in the head, it hurts. You know, it all hurts. And, you know, it's actually a wonderful little monologue about the stuntman.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Now, let me ask you this question. This is the intellectual question of the night.
Oh dear.
How many Chekhov's guns are in this movie?
A lot. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, of course,
one literal.
I was going to say there's the one that's literal, and then, there's a lot, but that's, you know, that's part of the charm, I think, actually, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And there's many more in retrospect.
Anything in this film can be used as a weapon, and usually is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're going to put something on the table, there's a good chance to be picked up and used at some point.
But even narratively, there's a couple.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, oh my God, that's great. That's so great.
Yeah. It's not stupid, which is why I can't call it big dumb fun.
No.
Because it's not dumb. You know, and that's not to say that other movies that I've called big dumb fun aren't, you know, have some sort of intelligence to it. But this one is big dumb fun. That's not dumb.
That's not dumb.
The only way. Yeah, it's just they thought about everything.
Yeah, this is the real world stuntman equivalent of fictional assassin world John Wick.
Yeah,
John Wick is not. I mean, and you people know. You know, we love John Wick here. We love that world, but it's big dumb fun. But it's not dumb. And actually, it's kind of a little dumb fun that has just gotten progressively bigger. But this is kind of the equivalent. It takes a thing and immerses you in it, and everything makes sense in that world. And it's well thought out, and it's well put together. And in the end, it's imminently enjoyable.
Yeah.
Which is really what you should want at the end.
As long as you're not expecting it to be a traditional romantic comedy.
No, it is. No, if you're going into this thinking it's a traditional rom-com, you are incorrect. There's a side of rom-com.
It doesn't feel beholden to check off all the rom-com boxes. And no. I think that's where the disappointment for the I wanted a rom-com comes from, because it checks off some of those boxes. But quite frankly, it doesn't have time to do the rom-com stuff because it's doing everything else.
Right.
And
even when it does it, you know, like the big one, I mean, the first part of that, well, not the first part, because we had the meet cute, which is great at the beginning, but there's a point where the spurned partner embarrasses the spurner.
Mm.
And in this, it's woven into the stuntman narrative.
Oh, yes.
And that sequence is just beautifully done, because I'm just sitting there watching. I'm going, I can totally see that happening.
Yeah.
If this situation arose, this is exactly how it's going to play out, because that's how it works. And all he can do is sit there and take it.
Yeah.
It's his only option. It's the only play he has. But again, that's very rom-com, but it's not a traditional rom-com sequence.
No.
So,
No, I mean, it will remind you perhaps of other things, but no, this takes that whole idea to a completely different level. Yeah.
So it's really good. Again, so we mentioned, Aaron Taylor Johnson is Tom Ryder. Again, it's the McConaughey caricature.
I mean, I got to tell you, I love him as an actor. I love him as an actor because even when I hate him,
yeah,
I love him. Like in this movie, I hate him before he's on camera. Like you just hate this guy, you know?
Yeah.
You hate him from the very introduction of the way, you know, the voiceover introduction of him. Anyway, and I just love the fact that he is just so hateable in this.
He's just so hateable. He
don't bother for any sort of redemption. Like none. There's no time for that.
Nope.
And it's not realistic anyway. And that's not, you know, the movie has something to say, and you know, I think it's marvelous. It's essentially I do my own stunts.
Yeah, right.
That's who he is. That is define the character. I do my own stunts. And stunts. Everybody knows. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Not at all. In a lot of ways. Oh, let's go back to Hannah Waddingham. She has so much fun. You're right. Great fun in this. I pointed out that she might be my favorite evil producer since Tom Cruise's Les Grossman in Tropic Thunder. And you get a lot of the feel of Tropic Thunder in this, in terms of it doesn't shy away from skewering Hollywood.
No, the biz. Absolutely, there's, and almost to me that's, it's more that than even a romantic comedy. It's lampooning Hollywood in a way that Hollywood has to say.
I hate you, but you're not lying.
You're not lying. You're not wrong. Yeah, kind of that way.
They're gonna sit there, clap and smile uncomfortably. But yeah, no. So, but yeah, she's great in it. Like I said, I was very much struck. She has a bigger role than Tom Cruise did in Tropic Thunder, but she's chewing just as hard as Tom Cruise was in this. So I really enjoyed it, and the music in this, we discussed that briefly. It's all period music except
one song
for one song, which
you'll just see it. You're either going to think. You might think it's hilarious, which I did, or you might just you might tolerate it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I tolerated it because it fit the moment.
Yeah. And again, these are characters that get embarrassed a lot. maybe that's the other part of the movie. This is, you know, how often can you embarrass a character before he just says, "I'm like, no, no."
Right. It's true. That is also true. Good fun. The Fall Guy in theaters now, tonight, Thursday. You'll probably hear this on Friday, but it is in theaters now. Good fun. Universal's got another hit.
I hope so. I really do hope so.
It should. I don't see how this doesn't, because like I said, it's only PG-13, so it's not like, it's not hyper violent.
Oh,
in a way.
Well, it is, but not hyper gory.
But yeah, so. But not hyper gory. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not offensive violence for the most part.
No, yeah. So it's,
and it's got a dog that only speaks French.
Oh my God! Yes, Jean Claude.
Yeah,
Jean Claude the dog. Yes.
Yes.
Attaque. it's good. We get Lee Majors and Heather Thomas get their cameos, which is, you know, it's always nice when they do that. Stay through the credits. There's some good stuff in there. But you know, it's not necessary to stay through, but if you do, you will be rewarded to get through the credits and see some stuff, which is good. It's good stuff. Obviously we both enjoyed it. So you will probably enjoy it too, if you're out there listening. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 9 of the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us, actually. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I said Universal has a hit, and like it should be a hit. We're expecting it to be a hit. And the reason I say that is because Universal has been doing pretty well of late. And they've been going both on and off screen up against who used to be the titan of the box office. And that is Disney, who this week, their Star Wars brand, for May the 4th, Star Wars Day, is releasing a limited animated series. The companion piece to the recent Tales of the Jedi. This is Tales of the Empire, also spearheaded by one David Q. Filoni. I don't know if his middle initial is Q. I don't even know if his full name is David, but that's what I'm going to call him. Tales of the Empire, 6 episodes. I don't know if we talked about Tales of the Jedi. We may have. I might have to go back and look at that. But I liked what was there in Tales of the Jedi, although I found it not about the Jedi, but about like two specific Jedi.
Sure.
Which and really it was one and a baby. So yeah. That was I kind of, it's a misleading title. They're not, I mean, they could have done this exact same release, but called it something else, and I would have been okay with it. But Tales of the Empire, 6 episodes, 2 3-episode story arcs about two different characters.
Yeah.
First three are about Night Sister Morgan Elsbeth. And the second three are about a character that if you, like me for the longest time, have not watched the Clone Wars animated series, you will not know who this character is. But she is from that show. And I had literally just like a week prior to seeing Tales of the Empire, seen the episode or the 2 or 3 episodes where that character's situation is called back to for this show. So, that irked me slightly.
Well, I do think it would be fair to say that Star Wars is going deep into the weeds. And they have to be careful that they don't make things that are just not accessible to people who don't have time to have read or watched everything that's out there. And I do think that you would have a legitimate gripe with this. That maybe it needed, you know, I that they're expecting too much of the audience, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is that they're expecting. My biggest issue with this is that, A, it feels like Filoni's the only one working at Lucasfilm right now. Everything has his name on it. They announce movies and then those movies just vanish. They announce series and then those series get pushed back a little bit. And we've got, The Acolyte is coming. They keep saying that it's soon, it's this summer, you know. Then we've got Skeleton Crew, but I think that's been pushed back a little bit. We just finished up the animated Bad Batch. Again, that's another Filoni show. But they made that series accessible without having watched Clone Wars or Rebels.
Yeah. But it does help to have.
Or some exposure. Like I said, I haven't watched any Rebels yet. And I'm in season 6 of 7 of Clone Wars. So even, you know, I know enough and can glean enough from these shows. But in this, in Tales of the Empire, they both of these arcs tie directly to Ahsoka, the series, and the character.
Particularly the first.
Yes. Absolutely. Particularly the first, the Morgan Elsbeth factor. So that ties into Ahsoka the show. And the second arc ties into Ahsoka the Padawan from Clone Wars. So it's, again, it feels like Filoni's the only one that's managing to produce things for us to watch. And at the same time, I feel like he is not, he's boxing himself in.
And we talked about this a little bit. You know, I hadn't watched the episodes at that point, but I think it is a legitimate criticism, because I think everyone to a certain extent knows that I don't know that Star Wars needs a complete reboot, but we need to do something different. We need to go somewhere outside that is completely, well, not maybe not completely foreign, but mostly foreign.
Right.
Where we know some of the, okay, there's Jedi, there's Sith, but we have to kind of get out of the shadow of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and figure out something beyond all that.
Yep.
And this does not really, I guess technically this does not include, the Skywalker drama or whatnot, but it is still rooted in the things that we know extremely well.
There's still a direct line from that material to this material.
Yeah.
Now I wonder if as much pre-malignment has been going on about the Acolyte online, it seems distant enough because it's pre all of that.
Yeah.
So unless Darth Plagueis shows up or a very, very young Palpatine shows up, it seems to be isolated. So it at least has gotten that right.
I would hope. And because the problem is, and I'll use the Harry Potter, prequels as an example on this. The moment Dumbledore shows up in those, it's no longer about anyone else.
Nope. Correct.
Dumbledore, if they wanted to make a series that was, its own thing, well, you blew it the instant that he walks in the door, because then it's him.
Yep.
And none of the other stories are going to matter. So, hopefully they'll figure out that, the Star Wars world, I think it still has plenty of corners of the galaxy to, explore. I think there's a lot of stuff that they can still look, do. And even if they have to stick to the Force as it's been established, if there are rules and the hard, fat, rules, I still think you can do stories, that, don't have anything to do with, you know, the stories that we're familiar with.
Right. It's like I said, this stuff is good. I don't know that they're.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're using the concept. I mean, I said it's the same problem I have with the Marvel's What If, those series. Oh, wow. I don't feel like they're using those prop. They're using them, but they're merging them into just an alternate timeline. Well, as opposed to these cute little one-offs.
Sure, but this is not an alternate timeline. This is at least it does. You know, you could argue. We need to know these stories, and maybe that's why they're, you know, done in these shorts. And I do hope that, you know, they do continue. I guess, well, I think the whole thing that's, this isn't really about the Empire all that much.
No.
You know, and that's where it gets a little problematic, because I guess there's a little bit in
the second, no, in the first.
Well, in the first, you know, but even then it's like, I won't go into it, but
yeah,
it
needed to be Tales from the Dark Side, but that unfortunately is already the name of a movie.
Yes, that's already an anthology series.
Yes. So,
I enjoyed what was there. I want to be clear about that. I actually, you know, really liked what was going on. It's just that part of you that knows that sometimes we're going to just have to let this go.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to, you know, I firmly believe that there are other stories that can be told, and I want to see those stories. Even if, you know, look, if you have to stay in the same time frame, let's at least go the other side of the galaxy.
Right.
You know, rather than next door. Or, you know, I did enjoy, and they're short, they're 15-minute episodes. Yeah. Very digestible, so I recommend. I think people will mostly enjoy them. But I think in the long game, it's be interesting to see them do something else. I haven't read the High Republic books.
I read one.
So I don't really know. Maybe those would fulfill what I want. I just haven't had time.
I think that's where the Acolyte is supposed to be. At the height of the Republic, as the Jedi are starting to lose their way. I think that's where the Acolyte sits. But again, so it's far enough removed that we shouldn't see any characters. We should at least not get that kind of crossover.
Hopefully it's not like, oh, and this is the father of those characters.
Right. Oh, this is my son, Palpatine. Yeah.
Oh, look at that. I wonder what he's going to do in the future.
Right. Or, you
keep
know,
my eye on you.
Or again, does Darth Plagueis show up at the end? I don't know. It'd be cool, but then make it just make a series about Darth Plagueis.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, that is at least.
Or that's a great one-off movie.
Yeah.
You know, Dark Galaxy Plagueis. That's all you have to call it. And just do a 90-minute movie about Darth Plagueis. And I'd watch that. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, so it's, again, it is. It's good. I enjoy what's there. But not as much as I should for what they should be doing. That is my problem with this series. So other people are going to have other problems with it, and I'm not going to mention what those problems are.
If Dave isn't comfortable moving outside of that box, okay. I do like what he does, and I have thoroughly enjoyed what he's brought into the Star Wars world. So, you know, I think we're less critical if other things are also happening.
Yeah.
You know, if it's this plus, you've got a, you know, this is the familiar stories, and then we've got something else that's going off in a completely, you know, unfamiliar territory. I think maybe that's a little more forgivable. I mean, Star Trek has kind of done certain things like that, although they've done their own.
They have their own issues, from what I understand.
Yes, they do. But they at least, you know, and yeah, they do a lot of crossover and things. But at least they, you know, their shows were different enough.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe that's where the Andor fits in and whatnot. But
that's we liked Andor.
I'm
looking forward to season two.
I guess if I don't know.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. I just want to see them step outside of their comfort zone. Yeah. I guess is what, you know. And I love Dave. I wish Dave had been more involved in the sequel
trilogy. Yep.
I think that would have at least given it more of a true story that actually makes sense.
Yeah, it would have been more cohesive as a unit. And that would have been, way better than what we got.
And he is, to a certain extent, he is a crowd pleaser, but not so much so that he...
But he can't be all you have.
Yes. Yeah, no, well, exactly. We need some more. And hopefully we'll, you know, start to get it. Obviously things have been, I think, the pandemic did a lot of things. It took away Disney's crown, actually. But, Disney went into the pandemic on top of the world and came out at the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting in that regard. But, they're still going to have a lot to figure out inside the Star Wars world and outside the Star Wars world.
Yep. Fact.
I did like this, you know, and I'm glad that they're putting out, you know, something for the fourth, that it's,
They had to put something up for May the 4th.
I do hope that they continue these series, and branch out and expand what they are. Whether or not that happens, I don't know, but you know, I think there's room for these side stories.
Yeah, there are. It just depends on how they do them and if they do anything else. That's the key.
Yeah.
So May the 4th on Disney Plus, Tales of the Empire, animated, 6 episodes, a couple hours, hour and change, and you're done.
Yeah.
So it's an easy watch.
Wow, and maybe, you know, if you haven't watched Clone Wars, or you haven't gone into it, I like the Clone Wars a lot.
I do too. Like I said, I'm in season 6.
It is a lot of material.
Yes, it is 7 seasons.
It is fairly daunting. There are filler episodes.
Yes, there are.
But maybe not as many as you might think, and maybe part of what they are doing here is turning some of those episodes that felt like filler into, showing why these weren't, I guess. But yeah. I don't know. I think you slide these into the timeline somewhere, it works. But give me a new timeline.
Yep, something, or new something, a new something. There we go. So yeah, so there you go. That's the Fall Guy in theaters now. Tales of the Empire on Disney Plus, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. We have next week, we are going to be screening Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Very exciting.
Which releases on, I'm pulling that up right now. I actually don't have it on my spreadsheet. Oh my God. That's terrifying that I don't have that listed. That's sad. I'm going to have to look that up real quick. But then 2 weeks, then we have a week off, as far as I know. Stop it. I'll be out of town for a week, but then the week after that, we're screening Furiosa.
Yes.
Which I'm also looking forward to.
Which I'm nervous too.
Yeah, that can go sideways.
But I trust George Miller. But I think part of the thing was going into Fury Road is none of us expected it to be as good as it was.
True.
And so there wasn't the same story. I mean, there were the stakes weren't remotely as high as they are now. It was like, oh, cool, we get to go back to this world. I hope it's neat. And then it turned out to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to, expect this to be as good, because, quite frankly, that might be, I don't know if the greatest action film ever made, but it's absolutely in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It's just exhilarating filmmaking, that I, it's the sort of film that now everyone compares things to.
Right. Well, and to be fair, the Mad Max universe is a great universe.
It is.
It's a great universe. So that helps. And then you put that, great action film on top of that, with what George Miller wanted to do with the earlier films, can do more of even now with technology and everything else, but still have that visceral, real feel by doing as much practically as he can. That's a great mix. That's a great mix. And it's nice to see, and we need to see more of it. So, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes opens on the 8th. So we'll be screening that next week and talking about it next week. So, and then of course, Furiosa.
And I'll be seeing a film that you saw at Sundance.
You're going to be seeing, I saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
That's Monday. Yeah. See if you enjoy the end better than I did. I was in until like the last 10 minutes, and then it just did not work for me. And I was like, damn it. It's okay.
And unfortunately, endings are important.
But again, sometime soon you should be seeing In a Violent Nature. That's going to hit theaters soon, which I really enjoyed. At Sundance, Ghostlight will be coming soon, which is one I really enjoyed at Sundance. So there's two recommendations for you out there, people. Watch those coming June, July-ish, I think. Ghostlight and In a Violent Nature. Good stuff. And they are not at all the same. So that's it. We talked about The Fall Guy. We talked about Tales of the Empire. Stuff to watch. Good stuff to watch. Still in theaters, so check that stuff out when you can. Don't forget to like us, follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast or Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. Depending on which outlet you're on, you can find us. Go to the website, vsmoviepodcast.com. We're there. Till next time, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan. And we will talk to you all later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.